views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 1-800-930-2819 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show app at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now here's Dr. Love.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you again today. So I have a question for you. When you draw your final breath, are you going to be able to say, wow, I lived and loved fully? Or are you going to be saying, I wish I had lived and loved more? Well, if you're ready to live and love big, then you're going to want to know my guest, Rick Tamlin, who inspires people to be their best. Rick Tamlin created the Bigger Game methodology in 2001 as a way to inspire executives, leaders, and individuals to get out of their comfort zones and invent the life they want. So without further ado, let's say hello to Rick Tamlin and the Bigger Game.
Hi there. Thank you. A little bit of the Bigger Game methodology, or the Bigger Game mindset, if you will. It's, you know, as you introduced me, there's sort of the what I've accomplished kind of quality that we all want. You know, and I think the interesting thing about the Bigger Game philosophy is, rather than going for those accomplishments, the accomplishments have sort of showed up as a result of, quote-unquote, the Bigger Game that I'm playing.
Isn't that wonderful?
You know, so
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the saying, do what you love, the money will come.
Yeah.
Don't go after, I'm going to pick this career because it's going to make me money. You follow your heart, you follow your dream, you follow your calling, and everything else, the accomplishments, the kudos, the accolades, they come.
Yeah, you're so right. It becomes an outcome, if you will, of the focus that I'm putting myself on, which is really the Bigger Game that I really want.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so, you know how they say you fake it till you make it?
Yeah, right.
Well, it's so funny because, you know, here I am. I started Ask Dr. Love, the web's first relationship advice site, and I'm doing this thing, you know, since 1995. And now
right.
I look up, it's 20 years later. Now everybody's like, oh, you're a legend in your own time. You're a pioneer. I'm like, well, I've just been doing what I've been doing, you know, not stopping.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, it's such a great, I love your distinction you made a minute ago. Rather than going for a career life, you kind of go for an expression of yourself life.
Yes.
You know, and that's what Bigger Game really means. And you are a living, breathing example, by the way. And I want to make sure folks know in your listening audience that you are one of our featured speakers at our Bigger Game conference, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But it's you are so breathing it, and you are sort of called to do this type of work in the world.
It's so true, Rick.
You know, and then all of a sudden, life sort of finds you and says, "Oh, let's publish your book," and oh, look. You know, I want to go do her workshop and that kind of thing. So it's
And, you know, I think, too, that our greatest calling, our Bigger Game, if you want, comes out of our deepest core wounds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's that passion that propels you. Like somebody, I think I might have said this to you, somebody said to me, your calling to connect souls was formed when you were in the preemie nursery, because I was born 3 months early, spent the first 3 months alone in the preemie nursery. And she said, you didn't want other people to suffer the pain of disconnection that you were feeling.
Right.
So there it is. Out of that wound came the calling.
Right.
Dr. Love. There it is.
There it is.
So it's not artificial. It's not sort of from the outside in. It's sort of from your soul out.
Absolutely. And it's so funny you talk about the wound. I mean, I'm doing a lot of inner work in my own life, as I know you are. And you know, we all have been wounded somehow. It's part of
the wounded healer,
The wound is healer, right? We actually have to have a wounding so we can find our soul and find our purpose. So, you know, this Bigger Game philosophy was sort of born out of my own, I won't go into the wound publicly here, but there was a sense of, do I have worth on this planet? Am I, you know, do I have value here? Which many of us can hear inside ourselves, that voice of, do I matter? And the Bigger Game is, to put people into a context of living that you so matter. you so can have a positive impact with your life. You know, so out of my own sort of do I matter came, I wanted to create something that says, you absolutely matter. Well, you're here to express some form that's compelling for you. And, you know, the bigger game methodology is a metaphor, you know, that life is a bit of a game. I don't mean to be not serious, by the way.
Mm-hmm. But just sort of. But it would be good to not be so serious a lot of the time.
Well,
right?
There's that, right? We get so sort of hunkered down. And, you know, recently I did a workshop for an organization. Oh, my gosh, the heaviness and the performance anxiety was so great.
Yeah.
And, you know, where they were sort of looking was the standard. And this is going to be a bit of a distinction. Most of us get caught here in this goal. I want to live a goal life. And I do a lot of coaching and development work for teams around the world. And I say, stop with the goals. Stop with the goals. Because, by the way, here's what happens. You reach your goal, if you will, if you're an organization or you're inside a company. And what happens when you reach a goal? They give us a bigger one.
Right.
And so there's
never enough.
There's never enough.
It's so the grass is greener goal trap.
Right, right, exactly.
It's always
yeah,
something.
You know, and when I reach my goals, then I will feel, you know, satisfied or fulfilled or whatever. And we're all learning sort of on a subtle level. These goals are not actually reaching the quality of life we really want. So bigger game is a philosophical shift from what's the game I'm really playing with my life that's compelling and calls to me, and then the goals will occur.
See, I love the word game because game to me is, it's lighter, having fun with it, playing with it. You know, Jack Canfield was on my show last week, and he was on my show a year before, and he asked if he could come. So I was ragging on him, and I got him laughing so bad he snorted on the radio. And to me, that is what it's about. You want to enjoy your ride, you know.
Absolutely.
Enjoy your work, enjoy your moments, because it's so... You know, after Jean left his body, I wrote a poem, live your life now and enjoy your journey. Do this before your final ride on a gurney. That's how it is, you know?
It is how it is, right? You know,
yeah.
So thanks for picking up on the game word, because it's exactly why we picked it. You know,
I love that.
Playful quality. And you know, we use a tic-tac-toe board as the metaphor, and there's these nine elements, if you will, to playing a bigger game. And, you know, I can address.
Do you want to go into those?
Well, let's just sort of take a deeper dive into a couple of them.
Okay.
First of all, just to play off the metaphor of a tic-tac-toe board, and if folks, as they're listening, want to follow along, you can go to biggergame.com, and you can actually see the bigger game board. I mean, it looks like a tic-tac-toe board, and the beautiful thing about a tic-tac-toe board is you can start anywhere. So this is not a linear process. You know, we keep trying to do life or do learning in a linear way, and humans are a little messier than that. You know, so this tic-tac-toe board, when you're playing tic-tac-toe, you know, you start anywhere on the board. You put an X here, you put an O there, and there's a strategy that unfolds as you play it. But where you want to start is kind of up to you. So but just for the sake of learning it, let's start with the hunger square. It's the upper middle square. Really, it's a very simple word, hunger. You know, and it really means from the core, from the inside out. You used that word brilliantly before. Mm. You know, what is it I deeply long for to experience in my life? And I think that's the key word. What do I want to experience at my core? You know, and that starts to inform the next square, which is to the right of that, the upper right square, which would be compelling purpose.
Mm.
My hunger informs, and in your language, Jamie, was sort of the wound can be a hunger place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that wound comes a, no, I don't want that in my world anymore, or I want more of this in my world, whatever it might be.
Mm.
Starts to generate the energy of, what am I compelled to create? Without knowing how, by the way.
Oh, I love that. I love that you point that out. Because people get so tied up with the, gee, I don't know how to fulfill it, so I get stymied and I don't even start.
I don't even start.
Right.
Which then speaks to, I'll start to connect a couple of dots to the upper left square, which is a comfort zone. The word is comfort zone. These are very simple terms that we all understand, but when you start to use this model in a personal conversation way, it activates all kinds of learning. You know, so to take a look at our comfort zones, what are the ones that are serving us, by the way? You know, every one of us brushes our teeth every day. That's a comfort zone. Yay.
Your dentist says yay anyway.
Right. And there's comfort zones that don't serve us. And to your point, you said a minute ago, you know, always thinking about starting but never starting is a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a whole relationship, by the way, between compelling purpose and comfort zone.
Because they're always sort of working at odds.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
Right. And so the way to think about it is, without a good enough reason, i.e. my compelling purpose, many times I won't leave a comfort zone.
Right.
You know, like, if you think about working out, like taking care of ourselves is a huge topic in our world, right? Eating better and working out. And most of us, like even our own health, many times won't get us to the gym. You know, our mind goes, oh, I know it's good for me, but then I don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to find a good enough reason, whether that's for the sake of our family or for our children, or in my case, I travel the world a lot and I go, okay, I got to be able to be on stages and in front of rooms and to be alert and awake and feel good in this body. So I'm going to go to the gym for the sake of that. So that's
right.
That's a compelling purpose that pulls me out of my own, oh, I'm tired, I don't really want to go to the gym today.
Mm-hmm. And you don't want it to, your compelling purpose to be you just got a death sentence or you had a heart attack,
right,
or, you know, oh my gosh, now if I don't change, they're telling me I'm going to die. If you want to wait until that point, that's a bit late in the game.
Well, it's an interesting, I so get it. I love your point there. It's like, do we have to wait for that? The interesting thing, sometimes,
that's what you need.
Sometimes it might take that.
It does take that, like a huge health crisis to wake you up,
right,
or the death of a loved one. These shake-ups are our wake-ups.
Absolutely.
You know?
I love that phrase.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a way to sort of let that inform me and say, okay, what am I going to do differently from this wake-up moment, whatever that might be?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about playing a bigger game, if you're not compelled, it's not your bigger game. So what I want to make
That's
sure folks
so
really
true.
Hear.
That is so true. If it's coming from your head, you know, well, I should, if you hear yourself saying, I should do this,
no.
I should, wrong place.
Wrong place, because that's the obligation territory. That's the,
yep.
I'm supposed to save the world. I'm just like, no.
That's the hemorrhoid.
Yep.
That's the pain in the ass. If you hear yourself coming from the hemorrhoid place, I say, leave it.
Oh, my God, I love that. What's the opposite of the hemorrhoid place? That's what I'm saying.
The soul place.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. And so, and then you know, that's why that word game is so brilliant in your bigger game name, because game implies it's light. When it's coming from the soul, it's light. It soars. Your soul is lifting you.
You want to play
up.
It. You know, when you think of a game, you're like, oh, yeah, I want to play that.
I want to play it. I have no choice. And there's also a fearless quality. You know, for me, with Love Never Dies and bringing out my new transdimensional grief therapy method, and, you know, here I'm a mainstream shrink telling my story, proving that we don't die.
Right.
The soul lives on. You know, a mainstream shrink doing this, that's a bigger game. But when you know that your heart and your soul is compelling you to tell the truth, you're fearless also. What happens when your allies voice the dark side, the doubt, the naysaying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what about that?
Yeah, well, I want to offer this wider perspective on this ally concept. We tend to think of ally as the people who say, you know, yes to us and our team members, and they're all aligned with us and agree with us and all that. Like, yay to those people. And I know for myself, many times I am motivated by the no. You know, I'll show you kind of quality without sort of being mean or mad at the world.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like a, wait a minute, that's not okay with me. Now, here's a personal example of this. This is where this came from.
Mm-hmm.
My dear, sweet brother, who you know of, and, you know, was challenged with cancer many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was, to your point earlier, was sort of given a death sentence, you know, from major hospitals and said, go home, get your life in order. And I watched my sister-in-law and my mother sort of literally sort of bond together, if you will, but there was this moment of, not on our watch are we losing this guy.
Mm.
And they went to, you know, other hospitals and said, you know, here, you gotta, you know, this guy's gonna live. He's gonna live. The will to live was so strong. And I watched my sister-in-law sort of find her power, find her strength, find her confidence for the sake of, if you will, this sounds odd, my brother's not a bigger game like this, but it became a bigger game. You know, it grew my sister-in-law, it grew my mother. They found leadership skills they didn't even know they had.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's now been written up in medical journals, and things got invented that had never, ever been done before because their choice was, no, thank you so much, that's not the answer I want to hear. So they got a no, and out of the no came a huge yes.
So that's beautiful because their love is what gave them the power to say no.
Absolutely.
And to fight for him. And I often say this because no is not in my vocabulary.
Yeah.
It just isn't. Because there's always, I think of the rat in the maze. You hit a wall, the rat backs up, finds another way out.
Right.
There is no no, really.
Well, I'm so with you on that no no. My philosophical or spiritual context for this is the universe is just a yes to everything.
All right.
The energy around me is a yes. So if I'm in sort of a negative space, if you will, the universe is going to go yes to my negativity.
Like right, that's very well said. Because we are the only ones who say no.
Right. It's sort of like, you know, it's sort of like I will have this thought, and if it's good or bad, the universe is going to go yes to it. You know, if you want to worry, I'll give you, okay, good, worry. Yeah, I'm going to say yes to your worry.
Yes, whatever you focus upon, I will give you more of the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So bigger game, again, the philosophy I'm hoping people are hearing is inside this is, you know, what I put my attention on grows, as you say. So the bigger game model keeps me conscious and keeps me focused and directed in my thinking, in my doing, in my actions, in my desires, in my passions. And it has room, by the way, for my humanity, for our humanity. And this is where the comfort zones comes in. It's like, is there days where I forget?
It's okay.
Exactly.
Just get back on the horse.
Get back on the game board in my language.
Exactly.
You know, you're on the game board already. You're somewhere on this game board.
Yeah.
And, you know, so just kind of return. And the beautiful thing about the game board is where do I need to put my attention? So if I'm sort of stuck and confused, let me put my attention on compelling purpose again. Why am I doing this? And find it from the inside out. It's like, right, that's why I'm doing this. You know, or by the way, I'll watch a movie or I'll create a structure in my life that sort of pulls me back into my compelling purpose.
What would that structure be?
Yeah, here's an example of that. So Aaron Brockovich, the movie, but Aaron Brockovich, the person, right? Every time I watch that movie, it pulls me back into, oh my gosh, if she can do what she did, what am I capable of? You know, it pulls me back into my power, into my strength.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so that's a structure. That's like a thing. Once a year I watch that movie to go, oh, yeah, right.
It's like a reset button.
Yeah, yeah.
A reminder. Absolutely. You know, that's sort of the same thing as when you read the biographies of very successful people.
Yeah, yes.
Because, you know, so often we get caught up in, I failed, it didn't work. And then when you read the biographies, you realize that every really successful person has failed tremendously and many times over. And each time was just a stepping stone toward the achievement of the bigger game and the success.
Right.
Yeah, and we must fail. That's our learning. And the people who don't fail are the ones who are failing because every time you fail, you're moving forward. You're moving forward,
right. You know, there's the fail. What's that great phrase? Fail fast, forward furiously.
Yeah.
You know.
Falling upward.
Right, falling upward, exactly.
Yeah.
So, which speaks to a great question to ask ourselves with the work we want to create in our lives is saying, what is my relationship to failure? You know, sort of it's a step back. It's like, what is my relationship to it? Am I scared of it? Do I learn how to embrace it? Do I go to a perspective of learning from it? And I don't think any of us think about relationship to failure. We sort of personalize it. We go, I am a.
Yes, you use it to attack your ego,
yeah,
and then,
exactly.
And you're dead in the water. And it's it's all so important how you look at it.
Yes.
Because, you know, I heard that expression. It was years ago. I heard Jack say, some will, some won't.
So what?
Somebody's waiting. So I said to him, you know, that's SW to the fourth power.
Yep.
SW. But the idea being that if you really look upon it as it's a numbers game, you take your ego out of it. It's not about you. It's not a judgment on you. You just keep moving forward on your game board. Just keep staying on your game.
Well, I love when you said, when you speak to the take your ego out of it, there's this, I don't have the right language, and you'll probably have it better than me even, but what I keep playing with these days is what wants to come through me. I mean, that's exactly what you're about, right? It's like, and I have this great phrase that I'm working on these days. I'm a coach and I'm a trainer, but I get in front of people or I get in front of a room and it's like, this just in, you know, and this thing wants to come through me at this moment that was never there before.
You're channeling that from the universe, spirit. It just, you're the instrument. You want to be used in service.
And I think in bigger game language, it's like to declare that I am up to playing a bigger game and then let the game find us.
That's so, so true. Because then there's that feeling of you're the locomotive being pulled by a larger force.
Yes.
That's very contrary to our approach in the Western world because, you know, and I'm totally about, you know, set your goals and your objectives and you push. And the point is, you can know what you want, but then it's sort of like you turn your palms up and now you say, allow the bigger forces, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it, let them pull you.
Yes. This is why, again, back to the game board, this compelling purpose square is really important. Sort of step into that energy and let that voice sort of drive my life. Rather than my strategic plan.
Right.
You know, I living on a
absolutely different part of the self.
Yeah.
It's a completely, now I'm sure you have lots of people who say to you, but you know what? I don't feel any compelling purpose. Yes, I hate my job, but nothing is on fire inside of me. I'm sure you hear this all the time.
I do.
How do you help these people?
Yeah, well, one thing I always say is, well, first of all, you got to slow it all down. You're sort of doing a reactive life. You're sort of bouncing from job to job, and hopefully it's going to get better. And sort of, right, it's like, let's slow this down and get quiet. And
because that's so important in the stillness and the quiet, you are able to hear.
You can hear it.
Spirit, God, your angels, whatever your guide.
Right.
You can't, if you're running and not still and quiet, you hear nothing.
Well, it's all noise, right?
You know? The noise. Right.
Now, another way, though, I have learned is what grabs my attention? Like, I'm watching the news, or I'm walking through an airport. It's like, what's grabbing me?
What gets you fired up?
What gets me fired up is sort of like, or I have a reaction to something. I'm like, you know, I was reading a story on the plane this morning when I was coming home about this. Oh, it was I don't mean to be horrible, but it was like this baby lion. It's going to be saved, by the way, but it was undernourished in this circus, in this part of this world that I won't go into. But I was reading, and my heart was going, oh, my gosh. And I could feel this sort of voice in me go, this is not okay with me.
Hey, you're into bigger game, like lions.
Right. Well, there you go.
No, that was very bad. I'm sorry.
Well... It's that I love the. I mean, right? The metaphor there is perfect. But now the thing to think about though is, one could go to, oh, am I supposed to do something about this lion? Not necessarily, because one can look into the world and go, you know, there's global warming issues. There's all this stuff going on. I think that the challenge for us is we think we can't do anything about any of these things.
That's very good.
So we go to resignation.
It's too big.
It's too. I can't.
I can't. What can I do? I'm just one person.
Right. And so that resignation energy, which is, in my language, a comfort zone that just takes over, and it's like, never mind, you know.
Right.
Instead of like, well, I could start something in my neighborhood. I could do a neighborhood watch group, or I could start something with my family. I mean, here's the thing about a bigger game. Bigger does not mean larger. It's not a planet thing.
It's more about the internal risk.
Internal risk. I could start with my family. I could start with my church group. It could start. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's a very important point because bigger people think, oh, I don't have the money. I don't have. I can't bring it out to the world. And you're talking about being bigger with yourself.
Correct. Bigger expression of self.
Of self.
And rather than sort of, am I doing a life of, if I do this, then I'll get that. You know, sort of, if I work really hard, I'll get that life.
Yes.
And I got to say, I watched my own dad sort of do his best in that territory, but it, you know, sort of ended with the, wow, I didn't think I was, you know, I thought I was going to get all this from this big company he worked for. And then they changed the game on him, if you will.
Yeah, he didn't end with a bang. He ended with a whimper.
He sort of ended with a, and I sort of watched his sort of soul. He was a beautiful dad, don't get me wrong. But he sort of, you could feel this sort of longing that it never quite, you know,
he didn't fulfill his bigger game.
Right. Exactly. The bigger game didn't sort of, you know. And I give that as an example because it's You know, we think there's this arrival place, especially in the Western culture. You know, if I save this much money, then I'll be able to retire, and then I'll finally feel free or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this model is not about that. And I'm not saying, by the way, to people that, you know, being free at the end with a lot of money is a bad thing. That's not what this is about. But this is about, okay, while I'm here, what do I want to create with my life?
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, as you opened so beautifully, you look back and you go, that's the thing I had an impact on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it mattered. It mattered to me. My soul is happy that I expressed it.
Absolutely. And the world's a better place for the fact
that
I did.
There you go, right? I think that's it. If we all were just sort of willing to share, if you will, our bigger games, I think it would go better.
We make the world a better place. We don't realize that the power of a single pebble in the pond.
Right, right.
That changes the surface of the pond.
Right.
Just one little pebble, and the surface is forever changed. That's the power we have when we have the courage to play our bigger game.
Right.
We reverberate out to the world and encourage others to do the same. Yeah. You know what I love about you, and you really walk the walk, because what I get about you is that you have such empathy for the pain your dad suffered, that he didn't get to live his bigger game, that you vowed to not end up in this way, and you vowed to make it your life's calling to help others not end up in this way. And whenever you speak, I don't even know if you're aware that you do it, whatever I say, you pick up on it. You embrace it. You acknowledge it. You weave it into your next point. So you really are such a supporter and an igniter of other people.
Oh, thank you for that.
It's what you do.
And
I don't even think you do it consciously. It just comes so naturally to you. That's your bigger game.
Thank you for that acknowledgement. It's such a, I think it's a philosophical point about playing a bigger game rather than, how do I want to say this, rather than sort of reacting to life, right? I wish that hadn't happened, and I'm so glad
mm-hmm.
that happened, and sort of going through life as a vote, you know, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad.
Mm.
It's like life is informing me as to what my bigger game might be. Like, how do I create from what's happened in my life?
It's so good the way you say that, because when the going gets tough,
yeah.
Either you're going to crumble or you're going to take this experience
right.
and create a bigger game.
Correct.
Let me take a brief break. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, Thyne.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you've yearned to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com, or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 800-930-2819. To listen live and download the free show app, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com. All shows are archived at TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. I'm talking with Rick Tamlin about The Bigger Game. Tell everybody what makes your book stand out from all the other self-help books out there.
Oh, what a good question. Let me bounce off of the name. You know, it's Play Your Bigger Game, and the subtitle is 9 Minutes to Learn, A Lifetime to Live. And I think one of the beautiful aspects of this Bigger Game model, it's a model, it's a philosophy, it's a sort of a mindset and a skill set, if you will. So, but it's simple, you know, 9 minutes to learn, like no kidding. You, as maybe you've heard on this call, like these nine squares on this tic-tac-toe board, everybody knows the terminology. So the terminology and the words are a doorway in, however, to a deeper internal conversation with self, or points us towards, what do I need to go do? So it's an inside-out job, if you will. But it's not complicated. You know, I think we sometimes complicate things.
Because you know what? The more simple it is,
yeah,
the more correct it is. As I get older and more open to spirit, I see that.
Yeah.
Very simple.
It's simple, and yet it has a depth and a complexity to it. I think there's a distinction between simple and like the iPhone. Here's an example. Simple to use.
Complex.
Very complex, sort of behind the scenes. So bigger game, the model, simple to use, but it activates the complexity of my humanity because I'm complex.
Yeah.
We are complex creatures.
Yeah.
So it gives some order to my chaos in my thinking. As folks have told me as they read the book, they're like, oh, it gave me a handle of where to put my thoughts, where to put my actions, kind of out of the chaos of my own stuff. It's like, oh, I see, put my attention over here.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know many of your listeners know this, and I know you know this, but you know, our life goes in the direction of what we're thinking about and what we're talking about. So bigger game sort of puts me into a context of what am I thinking about today? And then, by the way, what am I talking about? And how many of us have friends don't necessarily mean to do this, but they sort of get caught in that complaining comfort zone, and what do we notice they create more of? You know,
mm-hmm.
stuff to complain
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's really negative, yeah. And then it shifts everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So mm-hmm. this model, I think the other thing, I love your question about how is it different. The other thing that this model does, or this philosophy, it loves, I'm going to use your word, right? It loves me right where I am. So if today I don't feel like I'm sort of in my bigger game, if you will, there's a space for that, by the way, on the bigger game board, and that's the square of sustainability, meaning I'm taking a day off, or it's time to go on vacation because I'm burnt out.
Do you realize that this is really like the square of sustainability is like the good parent?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great link.
Do you realize? I mean, maybe you didn't make it conscious, but, you
right.
know, when you're talking about being good to yourself and playing your bigger game, so many of us need inner child work and inner child healing, and you're putting that on the game board.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah. I have heard this term, and I think it's in your world, but the nurturing parent, you know, the part of me that can nurture me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because we've got to do it for ourselves, you know?
Yes. Because the other voice I'm hearing out there, I'm going to throw it into the campground or the square of the comfort zone again. So much shaming. We're so sort of, oh, I should have done this, and why didn't I do that? And
oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, right? I mean.
So self-assaulted.
Oh, my gosh, we're so hard on ourselves. So to your question earlier about how is this a bit unique, anyone can find themselves on this game board at any given moment and sort of take off the charge of good and bad.
This is where you want to be, because the more you evolve, the more you know there is no good or bad.
Right.
You know, it's all grays and shades of grays. So I really, the more, because I was familiar with your bigger game, and I've watched you lead a workshop, and it never occurred to me until this moment that it's also very healing of the part of the self that's been injured and shamed by a parent and then now does self-shaming.
Absolutely, which is sort of the double whammy of a comfort zone that doesn't serve us, right? I should be doing more, and oh, now I'm judging myself that I should be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah. And then it immobilizes you, because then when you beat yourself down, your self-esteem goes down, and now you have less energy to get up and be productive and play your bigger game.
Right.
So you're breaking that.
Right. Let me just link from that. So, because some days we do have those moments, right, of like, oh, I'm in that space. I'm sort of in that spin, downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other squares on the game board that we can then link into or lean into. And one of them is the ally square or the investment square. So in your work, Jamie, like you are, ally for so many people mm-hmm. when they, quote, unquote, want to do good work in the world, but they just can't find it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me go work with somebody to find out what's really going on. So that's the investment ally square kind of together. Mm-hmm. You know, I need help to discover what is going on inside of me. You know, let me do my inner work to see what is my compelling purpose, because right now I can't even find it.
Mm-hmm.
And it loves me right there. It doesn't say, what's wrong with me? It says, let me go do some work.
So then
people,
what happens yeah. when you do that? And you do you pause from the game board and you just do the inner work?
Well, in the way I like to explain it is you're always on the game board. You might
mm-hmm.
not know what your bigger game is right now, but you're always on this game board. Even if it's I'm taking 3 years off, and I'm going to go work with somebody to find out what's really going on for me, and I'm going to go work Starbucks to pay the bills. But that's what's going to sustain me, and that's the inner work I'm going to do for now. In service of, because I'm seeking and open to and want to, quote-unquote, play a bigger game. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's coming. But right now I need to do this.
But this is also wonderful because this is another way that we really are supporting ourselves to tolerate the frustration.
Yes.
And delay the gratification, because when it comes to achieving self goals, all kinds of goals, it takes some time. It takes some preparation. You know, we see these people who win the Olympics, or an actor we never heard of suddenly wins an Oscar, and we say, man, that person's an overnight success.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, after 30 years of working
right.
behind the scene.
Right, right.
Right? So, you know, every preparation that you're doing for your debut, if you want, is still moving you forward
Absolutely.
On the game board.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And the sort of the shadow side of that, how many times have we seen somebody who sort of became an overnight success or had huge success, but then didn't do the inner work to be able to hold
yes,
it.
They crash.
They crash. It's sort of like the ego
yeah.
grabs it, and they think they're sort of invincible, and all that other stuff comes in.
Right.
In my language, is sort of a comfort zone territory, like, oh, I think I'm invincible, and instead of, wait a minute, let me reach out to the allies in my life and say, okay, there's some good success happening here, but let's, you know, can you kind of talk me through this, or let's be really responsible about how we do with what we do with all this success and
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of stuff. So
mm-hmm.
we sort of see the crash and burn all around us.
Mhm. Yeah, so, that's a good point. Very, very good. So are you, even though you invented the bigger game, do you still get on the board?
Oh, God, you mean
you actually play the game?
Yeah, well, my business partner and I, Chuck, we use it all the time. Like, so where are we, you know, in a quote-unquote business meeting, we'll start, where are we on this right now? And, you know,
That's
we were
awesome.
Having a conversation this morning, like, oh, we're sort of in this comfort zone of a little of anxiety, and I won't go into the details, but, like, you know, we're like, oh, okay, well, and then we go to, oh, let's not get caught there. What do we need to do? Oh, we need to call somebody to get help. And
you went into the allies.
Yeah, go into the ally square, then a bold action comes out of that, and then, you know, we're sort of back in. Because somebody said to me recently in a workshop, it was about a year ago, I guess, they said, oh, this is, I never feel stuck. And I hit me, I was like, oh, this is a great way to think about this. When you're on the game board, you're never stuck. Because as soon
no.
as you know where you are on it, i.e., I'm hungry for something to be different, or I need to take a bold action, whatever it is, what happens is you're actually then deciding what's next. Like it informs.
It's really great because you just the fact of knowing where you are
Correct.
Is an active step.
Correct.
Because I'm not
I
just wallowing.
Help.
I know I'm here. Well,
right.
now that I've identified, it's sort of like when you go to AA,
yep.
just the act of saying, hi, I'm John and I'm an alcoholic. Well,
right.
you're not stuck because you've labeled what you are and where you are. So on the game board, well, I know I need to seek an ally. Yes.
Correct.
I'm moving.
Exactly.
Now, you
exactly
just,
right.
you talked a lot, you talked a second ago, and you talk a lot in your book about taking bold actions, and then you say gulp.
Yeah.
So
right.
what do you mean by gulp?
Yeah. Yeah, gulp is one of the squares, and it's on the up. It's a middle column. Sorry, left-hand column, middle square. It's a terminology that my co-creator in this, by the way, co-created with this fabulous leader and coach and trainer, Laura Whitworth, who's no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
But she and I co-created this a number of years ago.
Well, I would say she's with you.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, of course she was.
She's with you,
course,
just not in the pod.
And I absolutely talked to her just you know, I can absolutely talk to her, and she gives me guidance. And there's a longer story here, but I won't go into it now. But there was a moment where I wasn't sure Bigger Game wanted to remain in this world after she passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the short story is I got a call from a major company, IBM, and Bigger Game had sort of been not on their screen for a long time. And this guy from Australia called me and said, I need you to come down to Australia and do a keynote for 800 people. And it brought the game right back into my life. I did this keynote, changed me, changed the room. They all got it. It was an unbelievable sort of guiding, in your language, I was sort of called from the other side. This is not done. This is not done, you know. So let me link that to gulp. Gulp is that moment or that energy of super excited and super scared all at the same time.
Oh, my gosh, that's where you want to be.
That's where you want to be. It's like, I don't know if I can do this, but I must do this. But I don't know if I can do this. I'm kind of freaking out right now. And that was me in Australia, by the way. 800 people, 800 IBMers in this room. 8 different languages, by the way.
A translator.
Translators all over the room. I'm on the stage by myself kind of talking about the philosophy and the methodology of Bigger Game. And it was a home run. I mean, they used the game board. They talked to each other. It became like a gigantic workshop. And I got off that stage, and I was, like, vibrating. Right? You know those moments, right?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I got it, Laura. I got it. This isn't supposed to stop. You know, and here we are now 9 years later or so, 8 years later, with a conference, you know, which is cool. It's like the game is moving forward. You know, there's a book, Hay House book.
Yeah.
And we have our own Bigger Game Expo or a conference, if you will, which you are presenting at, just to let everybody know, like, fabulous.
You're so sweet to support my Love Never Dies message. Yeah. And it's so funny, when you asked me to do it, you made it very clear. We want you for Love Never Dies, not Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. Love Never Dies.
It's in the wheelhouse, right, of that whole do what you love, and that the rest of it will take care of itself.
Yeah. You know, I did the Coast to Coast show.
Yeah.
Which is, that's like the biggest spiritual radio show. You die to go on there. That's what everybody wants.
Mm.
And I just knew I was going to go on it because I had a feeling Jean was just going to put me on.
Yep.
So I was introduced by Danyon and Catherine Brinkley to a TV producer, because I'm now talking about making Love Never Dies into a TV show and a film. And she said, listen, I'm friends with the producer of Coast to Coast. I want to get you on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, I get a call from her. The producer, Lisa Lyon, wants to talk to you now. Of course, I had no patience, so it worked out. I get on the phone with her. We talk for an hour, which was actually the pre-interview, and she says, I want you on tonight.
Wow.
That never happens. They book so far in advance. So from 1 to 3 in the morning that night, soon after I moved into my house, I got toothpicks in my eyes. I feel like poop on a stick, really beat. I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? But I did it. And I played the Bigger Game on there because, you know, when I go on, I have to tell you what I have to tell you. I'm passionate about this message. And at one point, the host, I haven't told anybody this. The host asked me.
Now you're saying it on your radio show.
Yeah, I know. So the host asks me a question, and I say, oh, that is a great question. I'm going to get to that in a second, in just 1 second. But, and I did get to it in a second, but during the break, the producer said to me, that was very rude what you did. So here I was playing my Bigger Game, right? And I wanted to flow with the point, and I would come back to it, but I didn't want to break the flow. And the producer thought it was rude and disrespectful that I didn't answer him. So there was a really great example, right, of, oh, you're playing your Bigger Game, and, whoa, you got your knuckles wrapped for doing it. But then the next day I'm told the book is an overnight bestseller, sold out on Amazon.
Well, it's such a great example in my language of the Bigger Game, sort of a gulp moment, if you will, and you know, because the world around you sort of responded like, oh, how could you do that? You know, sort of rude. And you know, what's beautiful about it is I make up anyway. I'm in your head a little bit here, but like in the moment, you were okay. Don't get caught there. Don't respond. Don't sort of go to that shame place. You sort of found your compelling purpose again. You sort of got back on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And created from what was next,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't get caught in the sort of the shaming moment.
Yes, because my gulp, you know, for me, I'm very much a warrior. It doesn't mean that I'm not scared. People think, oh, you're fearless. Oh, that is not true.
No, that's
I'm
not
as scared
true.
As anybody else.
Right.
But there's just that compelling purpose that pushes me beyond the
correct.
Fear.
Correct.
Right. And not that I'm not sensitive and, oh, my gosh, it is a gulp when somebody, you know, chews you out and anything like
yeah,
that.
Right.
You know, but still you go forward because there's a compelling purpose that's bigger
correct.
Than me. Yeah.
Correct.
Bigger than my ego. And, you know, the thing is, all great messages, all bigger games create controversy. I'm sure you would agree with that as well.
Well, yeah, well, they're there to sort of disrupt the business as usual.
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Right.
So a bigger game, one of its qualities is not to do business as usual. I mean,
exactly.
Apple was not founded on a business as usual.
There you go.
You know,
there
okay.
you go. So you have to be willing. And yep. since I'm out there in the public eye and I'm doing the TV and I'm a guest on radio, so my gulp is, it's sort of when I get egg on my face, it's very public, you know. And I started getting a group going after me, you know, the Amazon Vine Voice.
Hmm.
It's a group that Hay House uses. They send them free books.
Yeah.
And they review the books in exchange for getting a free sample of the book. The theory being, oh, you've gotten a free gift, you'll give a nice review. Well, they started the Vine Voice thing with my first Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, and one of the women who was a reviewer got it in her head that I condone rape. She took an example out of the book, out of context, where
oh,
I was
gosh.
Helping.
Right.
I know, it was crazy. I mean, I'm the one who, like, empowers women up the wazoo. I mean, it's crazy. But there was an example in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye of a woman who was married for a long time, and her husband would come home drunk and force sex on her, and she never told him, I'm not into it. So she was condoning the whole thing.
Right.
And she wanted to do couples therapy, and I said to her, okay, look, you've got to tell him first up. I should have told you I'm not into it. As soon as she told him, he stopped. So from that story, the woman, the reviewer, said, you condone rape. You should have refused to do couples therapy. You should have, told her
wow.
to kick his butt to the curb. But obviously, this is a person who's been violated and molested and has an axe to grind. But the thing is, there are these bullies out there, cyber bullies, that are given platforms now, like the Vine Voice. And this woman organized a campaign against me. Don't buy her books. Boycott her books. I mean, really bad. So when Love Never Dies came out and the book got put into the Vine Voice, I thought, oh, these people are not going to just carry their torch to this book. But they did. So here I had all these five-star reviews, crazy reviews, because I never asked anybody to review. It just came from the Hay House radio show. And
right.
then the Vine Voice started with these one-star reviews and really mean and character assassination. And here you are. You're playing your bigger game,
yeah.
and you're
yeah.
getting slammed at the same time.
Well,
yeah.
my co-chat wants to go on and sort of be curious.
Mm-hmm.
So what the – this is going to maybe sound weird, but – how is this an ally moment? Like, how are they an ally?
Well, the thing for me is, all I can do is mobilize my allies, but you have to be careful, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to feed the trolls, as they say.
Right.
So, because if you go after them, they can get worse. So, for me, the biggest ally moment is to just keep reminding myself, and it's more like an internal reminder,
it is.
When you play the bigger game, you are shaking the trees. You know,
wow.
you are shaking people up. You're taking people out of their comfort zone.
Exactly.
And so you're going to have to accept some people will be very frightened and will lash out in fear. And that's
right.
just it.
Right.
It is what it is.
Right. Well, I love you what you just said because it really turns it into what you're reminding us of is it's all about love. So
right.
fear gets activated because they're opposite sides of the same coin, right?
Mm-hmm.
You are the voice of love. And so what's the voice of love going to activate? Some fear.
Very so much so.
It's a very interesting sort of paradox, if you will, because we...
And, you know, it's like this is a baby. When you write a book, it's your baby.
Of course.
And, of course, the first part of the book is my memoir. I'm
right.
naked on the page.
You bet.
And I knew this is like, talk about bigger game.
Yep.
There's nowhere to go from here.
No, right. This is it. You know,
you're naked on the page. You tell the story, your dysfunctional family, everything. And... everything about it was done from a place of love.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
You wanted to wake us up. You are waking us up to our consciousness. What are we creating with our lives? And we can do it differently. And all those messages that you bring.
Everything. we've been told about death and dying and the afterlife, you know, all of that is dead wrong.
Right. I mean, what I love about you is you're so clear about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a morsel of doubt in you. And so I dare say the other thing that happens is when people are have so much conviction, it actually activates in other people their own desire to have their own conviction, but they don't have one.
Ah, that's clever. So then my only conviction then is to go after you. Do you see what I'm saying? Because when you're that much of a warrior and it's beyond a conviction, because when you read the book, you'll see you can't doubt these things. There are other players and I name their names and witnesses. And,
right.
But now I'm coming out. So if I don't have my own conviction that I can put forth, then all I can do then is do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, take an opposite naysaying position. Yeah.
Right.
But it's an amazing ride run. So tell me, Rick, what's your bigger game? And what's a bold action that you've taken?
The bigger game I dare say we're in, my partner and I right now, is to, sometimes a number helps us with a bigger game, and in my case it does. Like 1 million people are touched by the bigger game philosophy, experience, in whatever form they want, whether it's the book form, the workshop form, or a keynote if they see me on the road somewhere. And I think that the newest form, if you will, is our biggest, boldest action yet, which is this Bigger Game Expo, which is think the TED Conference, a TED Conference meets the Ellen Show.
That's what we're doing at the Bigger Game Conference.
Right. So it's
that is so great.
You know, lots of fun and play and, you know, dancing, because I love dancing and we'll have great music, and so lots of threaded fun throughout the whole thing, and we have many beautiful speakers coming in talking about their bigger game. And one of the things that we're very excited about is, mostly interactive. It's not going to be just sort of talking at. It's going to be an interactive experience and giving people time to sort of process what's activated in them.
Mm.
So there's inspiration, but there's also activation.
Nice.
And I think that's the thing for me is I want to activate people to get conscious about what they want to create with their lives. So these days I call myself an activator. You know, people go, you're a coach, you're a trainer, and I go, yeah, I'm all those things, but I'm really an activator.
Yeah, and you're a transformer too.
Well, hopefully if they sort of get activated, then my philosophy is they will be transformed, So we have Elizabeth Gilbert coming, the author of Eat, Pray, Love. We have the fabulous Beekman Boys. I don't know, some people might know them. They had their own TV show. They also won the Amazing Race last year, and they're doing amazing work in revitalizing this community in upstate New York, which is, quote-unquote, their bigger game. And then, of course, we have you, Dr. Jamie, Dr. Love, coming to talk about your amazing work, which is, you know, kind of rocking our world, right? It's like we just talked about it. So I don't need to go down the big list. People can go on our website to find out other folks that are coming, but we're very excited. It's in upstate New York. Gorgeous location on Lake George.
Sounds wonderful.
We've rented a big boat. We're going to have wine and cheese on the lake with a sunset cruise. I mean, you know.
Oh,
just,
that sounds great.
I know, right?
Can we go now?
I know, right? I know. It's like 20 below there right now. So, you know, it's 20, literally.
I'm just dreaming of the summer, you know, and the beautiful weather.
Right, of course.
So give everybody your website and all your coordinates so everyone can find. Of course, it's on my homepage at AskDrLove.com as well. But tell everybody how to find you and find your book and everything.
Perfect. Well, there's RickTamlin.com. Easy. You know, RickTamlyn, Tamlin.com. That can take you to many other places. Book is on there, you know, bigger game workshops, that kind of thing. You'll see all kinds of things that I'm doing in the world with this work. But the BiggerGameExpo.com will take you right to this information about this particular conference. So that's BiggerGameExpo, just like it sounds, .com. And, see the list and how you register and all the details.
That's wonderful. And do you have one parting thought for everybody before we close? We have just a couple seconds.
The parting thought is, you sort of started with it, but I think this comes from this compelling purpose statement that my dad said to me, you know, when you get to the end of your life, you want to look back and go, that's the positive impact I had with my life, and it felt so good to create it.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to help you create your bigger game. So see us there at the Bigger Game Expo. Rick, thank you so much for coming on Ask Dr. Love. It's wonderful.
Thanks, Jamie.
Have a great week and play your bigger game. Everybody listening, we're going to help you do it. See you soon on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com and follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and Facebook.com/AskDrLove.